In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, in gift shops and gas stations, where they have all these little trinkety things, you know, keychains, magnets, bumper stickers, and they have all these phrases on them. Well, there's one that I've seen a number of times, and it says this: Lord, help me to be the kind of person my dog thinks I am. Have you seen those? Or maybe some of you have them, you know, if you're a dog lover. Okay, Lord, help me to be the kind of person my dog thinks I am. And I've always thought it's kind of clever, at any rate. And then I Googled it, and I find out there's actually a country western song from about 10 years ago that has this exact refrain: Lord, help me to be the kind of person my dog thinks I am. And he prays in the song that his dog Jake would get to heaven and God would give him a pair of wings. So it's a little bit out there. But at any rate, this catchy little phrase, it actually hits on something pretty significant. And that is, of course, that we are hypocrites. We're hypocrites. Even to our dogs, we're hypocrites. And think about it this way: if you have a dog, I know not everybody has a dog at home, but most of you have had one at some time or another, but think about it this way, that your dog is actually better than you are. How terrible is that? Our dogs are more faithful and more loving and more honest than we make ourselves out to be. And the reason I bring all this up is because it's in the gospel reading today, in a small way, but it's kind of interesting. No one is there to help poor old Lazarus. He's sitting at the gate covered in his sores. He just wants something to eat. Nobody is there to help him except who? The dogs. The dogs are loving him. That's what it's talking about. That's what Jesus is talking about. They're licking his wounds because they have compassion for him. They're trying to clean him up and show him love. The dogs put us to shame. And Jesus is telling us this story of the rich man and Lazarus to do just that, okay? Don't miss it. The point is to put us to shame, to show us what's really in our hearts behind the facade that we show to others and even show to our animals. The story of Lazarus and the rich man is about what's in our hearts, because Jesus can see that. He can see what's in our hearts, and it's not always good. Now, here's part of the problem, and you all know this, but I want to tell you this to lead up to what I want to talk about. The problem is that we can't see into people's hearts, right? Can't judge a book by the cover, we always say. We only see the outside. And so this is generally what we make our judgments by, because we can't judge by the heart. We just judge by what we see on the outside. So like for the rich man, for instance, we judge that he must be a really good, upstanding guy. I mean, he does a lot of good things in the community. I'm sure he's probably at synagogue every Saturday, good church-going guy. He probably hangs out with all the good people, the religious types. He probably throws his money around in front of everybody in town, and everybody thinks he's a great, generous philanthropist. Everybody probably assumes he's a shoe-in for the pearly gates, right? No problem. Definitely he's getting into heaven. But then you look at this Lazarus. I mean, the guy is just gross. Okay, he sits outside the gate like a bum, a lazy bum, never does anything, right? He's an annoyance. Every time you walk by him, he's got to beg you for food and money. He's dirty, doesn't take care of himself. He's covered with these sores, so everybody's scared to even go near him. They're going to catch something. Would God ever want somebody like that coming through the pearly gates? See, that's how we would judge from the outside. We do this kind of thing all the time. We make judgments about people, how they're dressed, how unhealthy or healthy they are, by how clean or dirty they are, by who their friends are, who they hang out with, all these things, you name it, this is how we judge. But of course, none of that matters. Now, I want to be clear, that's not why Jesus is telling this story, to tell you don't judge other people. There's a more important thing. He's telling it because he doesn't want you to judge yourself that same way. We think we can make the outside look good, like the rich man, and ignore the problems in here. But Jesus sees all that. Now imagine, you could do an x-ray, and I realize x-ray wouldn't even show this, but you just got to use your imagination, pretend, okay? Imagine we could do an x-ray of the rich man's heart, and an x-ray of Lazarus's heart, what do you think we would find in their hearts? In the rich man, if we did an x-ray of his heart, you'd find only one thing: himself. That's what's in his heart. Now, we could call that a lot of names. We could say in his heart is pride, arrogance, greed, you know, vanity, you know, self-glory. Yeah, we could call it by a lot of names. But what's in his heart is himself. There's no one that he loves or trusts more than he loves and trusts himself. Now, if you dig real deep into his heart, you know, if you got a really strong x-ray here, you can see there's someone else in there, and that's, of course, Satan. But Satan is content to kind of hide in the background. He'll just let the rich man be content with worshiping himself. So the rich man is all about filling his heart with all the finest of things. Now, keep in mind, he does have faith and love in his heart, but what faith and love? Faith in himself, love for himself. Now, what about poor Lazarus? If you could x-ray his heart, what would you find in there? And I think our general assumption is that we'd find it empty. You know, he's just a poor beggar, covered in sores, sick, suffering. He's probably got nothing in his heart, right? But of course, we know that's not true. In his heart is faith and love. That's why he goes to heaven. He believes in the promises that God has given in Jesus Christ. His heart is full, actually. Now, to our minds, that's kind of hard to imagine. Here he's sitting there suffering. And he doesn't really do anything. How can he have a full heart? Well, because he believes in God and he loves God. So when the rich man dies, then he goes to where his heart is, with the devil. And even in death, we see the rich man, he only cares for himself. He's telling Abraham, send Lazarus down here to take care of me. Right? That's where his heart is. But the poor man, Lazarus, on the other hand, he goes where his heart is, which is to with God. He goes to the side of Abraham, that other great man of faith, and there he's comforted, Jesus says. No more anguish, no more pain, no more sorrow or suffering. He's comforted. Now, finally, if that's making sense, then think about Jesus. X-ray the heart of Jesus. And what's in his heart? Because remember, on the outside, Jesus doesn't look like much. He doesn't look any different than you or I. He's this Galilean, you know, poor Galilean from Nazareth, son of Mary and Joseph. He's really nobody. Guy who just wandered around and eventually ends up on a cross. But what's in his heart? His heart is full of all of the love of God in heaven. And I started talking at the beginning of this about dogs and their love, and you know, we call them man's best friend, and they are. They are loyal. They put us sinners to shame. But there is one person whose love far surpasses even our loyal canines. He is our true man's best friend. Jesus, with his heart of pure gold, his heart of pure love, and just compare him to Lazarus. Lazarus is this poor man suffering outside the gate. Well, what is Jesus? Our poor man who suffered outside the gates of Jerusalem, died on the cross. Here's Lazarus begging for mercy, right? And what was Jesus doing on the cross? Begging, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Begging for our forgiveness. And here's the dogs licking Lazarus's wounds clean. And here is Jesus licking our wounds clean, making us clean and whole and new again. So now we might change that prayer I brought up at the beginning. Instead of saying, Lord, help me to be the kind of person my dog thinks I am, we as Christians pray, Lord, help me be the kind of person my Savior is. In the epistle today, John tells us not to be hypocrites. He says, if anyone says, I love God, and then hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen can't love God whom he has not seen. We love because he first loved us. God doesn't call us to be hypocrites, to make everything look good on the outside. He calls us to live the love of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And you have everything you need right now to have a heart that is full of faith and love. You have everything you need, okay, because you have the Word of God. See, the rich man, remember, as he's suffering in hell, he says, send somebody back from the dead. Then my brothers will get it. If they see somebody rise from the dead, then they'll get it. And Abraham says, no, that's not going to make a difference. Okay, you and I have everything we need. We have the Word of God. Okay, We don't need somebody to come back from the dead. Abraham says if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe anyone else. So if you and I are not going to believe the word of God, what else are we going to believe? Right? We've got the eyewitnesses who were there with Jesus that write the Gospels, who saw him risen from the dead. We've got Moses and the prophets who talk to God themselves. You've got King David who pours out his soul to you in the Psalms. What more do we need? That was good enough for poor Lazarus, who was suffering as a beggar at the gate. It was good enough for him, and it's good enough for us. So God calls us then to fill our hearts with God's word, and that, of course, fills our hearts with faith, to trust God. We don't need anything else. And then when our hearts are full of faith, then our hearts will be full of the love of Jesus. And again, I tell you, you have everything you need to love your neighbor. There's so often we say, well, I need more time. I need, you know, when I have more money, then I can do more of these things to love my neighbor. Understand, it's just an excuse we make up. We have everything we need right now to love our neighbor, always. We have time, right? We have time. We can give our time to our neighbor to listen to them, to help them, to lend a hand. We have that. We have our words. Words can go so far just to encourage a neighbor, tell them we accept them, we forgive them, we love them. And we have our church. We have our church that is full of resources to help and love our neighbor. We have everything we need, friends. You think about the rich man, that's not a fun place. Hell is a place of anguish and torment. We do not want to go there, and we don't want anyone else to go there either. So we take our cue from the poor man Lazarus, and we turn to Jesus, and we fill our hearts with his faith and love, faith in God, which comes through his word, love from our neighbor, which comes from Jesus. And that, then, is a heart that will be even better than the heart of our loyal and faithful dogs, a heart that is full of the faith in God, in our Savior Jesus Christ, and love for one another. And I pray that God would grant you and I that kind of a heart, the heart of Jesus, in his name. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.